available now. As we speak, it's available. Just came out. You should own it. Called We Learn Nothing, a collection of essays and cartoons. And also go out and get The Pain, When Will It End? Fantagraphics. 201-209-9368, 201-209-WFMU. Maximum Nutrition with Hardy White is up in a few.
I'm talking to you, dimwit.
I wasn't listening.
This is great talk radio.
I'm not going to say it.
I don't like that kind of talk.
WFMU.
Now just stop it. It upsets me.
Hello, welcome to the air. Got to turn your radio down.
Hello?
Yes, who am I speaking with?
My name is Nick.
Hey, Mick, how are you?
Am I on the show? I think my radio just...
You are on the air, yes. Please don't curse, Mick.
Sorry.
I didn't say you had. I'm just saying don't.
Okay. So I guess when talking about staying busy, I don't really want to do anything that I don't have to do, I guess, when it really comes down to it.
So your ideal life would be just not
doing
really...
what I'm interested in, that's it.
What are you interested in, dare I ask?
Photography.
So are you any good with photography?
I'm decent. Yeah. I make a small living right now. You know, I'm still young, but, you know, I'm pretty much... only interested in making pictures that I find pleasing and making, you know, nice prints to hopefully last for a long time, you know, so people down the road will see them.
Are you able to make a living with any of this?
Yeah, right now, I freelance for some nice companies and stuff, and, you know, I'm not starving, but I'm not, you know, not rolling in it.
I hear you. So have you had a chance to read this article, The Busy Trap?
All right, so every time I've gone to pick it up, I started reading it on my phone, and then I stopped, and then I turned the radio on, and you were talking about it, and you read the first part, and I get the basic gist of it. And I feel like it affects more people than my generation, than the guys like Bob. You know, Bob probably just learned how to use Facebook, and I remember being on something like Facebook or being connected with people. You know, that's where it's all kind of started. People in my age group, and I feel like people need to.
What age group is that, by the way, Mick? What age group are we talking about?
I'm 26 right now, so you know, people, you know, out of college for a few years, you know.
I have
my generation is.
I have nieces and nephews in that age range, and I know that they live a large part of their lives on Facebook. It's amazing to me. I mean, I know other people, believe me. Get this and understand this. Maybe it just dawned on me, but there are people who live their lives on the internet who are putting everything on Facebook and everything on Twitter, and it just seems like a lot of work to me. Maybe that's why I don't do it. Maybe it just seems, it's not that I don't want to connect with people or know about what's going on in my friends' lives and so on, but it's just, it seems like a lot of work.
Yeah, it's there, and I feel like for some people it's really hard to not use it. And then, but then at the same time, when you're trying to, I guess that's what they say in the article, when you're trying to promote yourself, you know, I guess more for like a job, you know, cause the more people I know, the more people are looking at the pictures I'm taking. So I guess I'm busy in that aspect.
Right.
But I don't want to do something that's just unpleasing. Like I can't, I've tried to work jobs 9 to 5 and I'm too bored and I can't sit there.
Well, it sounds like you're figuring out how to make it happen for you, so that's good, right?
Yeah, well, I'm trying to take an apprenticeship in Rochester. I make a living doing it now, but I'm trying to take an apprenticeship back up in Rochester at a museum to try to learn the traditional processes of photography. So I guess I just want to keep doing that. But it's unpaid, so now it's a real challenge to get.
Listen, I got to go. Thanks for the call, Mick. I appreciate it.
Have a good one.
We're at a road here on Aerial View. Stay tuned for Maximum Nutrition with Hardy White. I'll be back again next Tuesday, same time at 6 p.m. And meanwhile, you can catch up with me at aerialview.me and at wfmu.org. Thanks again to Tim Kreider. Go out and get his new book, We Learn Nothing, collection of essays and cartoons, and look for his article, the most emailed of the week on the New York Times site, called The Busy Trap.
Shoplifting's fun. We've all done it. But if you're going to steal fireworks, forget it.
When them Chinese folks wrote on that label, light fuse and run away, they meant it. Get the heck out of there.
Remember, stealing's not good, but if you're going to do it, don't steal fireworks. It's the law.
Sure, the talk show. You know, people phone in and make a beef.
Oh, what about?
Well, anything, Joe. Whatever happens to bug you, that's what you talk about.
Why don't you learn to talk American? Save us all a lot of trouble.
I think that humans always tend to talk about rubbish because they don't really want to face the reality.
Listen to the radio, find out what's going on. Listen to the talk shows and you will find out what's going on in this country.
What sort of talk is that? Modern talk?
I'm sick of talking!
Nobody to talk to but your radio.
Stay here for Maximum Nutrition with Hardy White coming up next on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, worldwide on WFMU.org. Find me online at aerialview.me.
A seven nation army couldn't hold me back. They're gonna rip it off, taking their time right behind my back. And I'm talking to myself at night because I can't forget. Back and forth through my mind behind a cigarette. And the message coming from my eyes saying,
welcome to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. Join me now as we talk about spirituality and nutrition and health matters, and it doesn't matter. We're going to learn a little something about laughter and cancer. And maybe we'll learn how to make a scotch tape wallet. Keeps your money from falling out. Just like the scotch tape of your love keeps your heart in place. Oh, I'm a little teapot, short and stout. I don't have a handle and I don't have a spout and I don't have a lid. How can that be? I'm a Zen teapot. I'm the human skull. I tell you, the human skull is a marvelous thing, except you can't get your hand up in it to use it as a puppet, because that hole where the Medusa glagata goes in is slim and slimmer than the hand. Why would you want to make a puppet out of your head? You say, hey, use your imagination. So many of us don't these days. You have a Punch and a Judy, don't you? Used to be a man come in our neighborhood when I was little. Used to a man come by called the Puppet Man, just to give out puppets to children walking down the street. Say, hey, old man, you got a poke of candy? I got something better. I got a puppet. So that looks just like an old bag or something. He'd say, hey, use your imagination. And we did, because he wasn't a puppet man. It wasn't even a man. It's just a lamppost. But we used to go up to it and we'd hit it and run away and everything. We lived in a garden in our minds. And in this garden, there were all sorts of beautiful trees. And some of them were mango, which a lot of people are allergic to, and if the sap gets on you, it burns you like acid. Like it did the Star Trek folks in the Garden of Eden. because they're looking for something that didn't exist. But what does exist is acid grass, which is a combination. In the 60s, they would combine drugs like that. Upper downers. When we put together things that are opposite, like chlorine and muriatic acid, or vinegar and baking soda like I talked about last week, or peanut butter and jelly, or things like that, or Korean folks and people from Norway, they're not really opposite. They're compliments. I got a lot of compliments say, "Hey, Hardy, I love what you've done with your hair, the way you've removed it and then scattered it all over your pillow." Yes, because I'm old. I'm aging. Everything's going to fall out eventually. But not everything. Mr. Rogers used to have to teach children, "Hey, your body parts aren't going to fall off and go down the drain." And that was never a fear for me. I did think that my testicles were extra eyeballs when I was a child, but that's about it. I never thought I was going to come apart. And if I did come apart, maybe I'd transform into a beautiful bug. Not like a butterfly. Butterflies, it's the flittering, I think, that disturbs me. I like the slow-moving bugs that look like they're really sticks. Some of them move so slowly they are sticks. You become, sometimes, what you emulate. Say, "Hey, you look like a lump on a log." I said, "Well, there's not supposed to be a lump on the log. Let me feel that. Ooh, get that examined." It always comes one time, feel something that's not right on your body. Say, "Oh, I'm scared now." Because the body's not meant to last forever. That's why we regenerate and get a new body instead of dying. I love that. It is not the way that it happens, though, is it? You only get one body. And sometimes you have to get pieces lopped off of it. My uncle's was missing a leg. Now he's missing everything. Eventually, everything was amputated. Oh, really, just it started with the leg and then he died. But he'd missed that leg, rubbed the end of it, say, "It feels that itchy. My foot's itching," and rubbed the end of his stump. Because we only miss things when they're not there, don't we? I miss things before they're gone. I'm missing them. I pine for people who haven't even been born yet. I miss that fella that doesn't exist. Is that possible? Yes, I walk down my road and I look at the different houses and I wonder about that blue one with the bars on the window and the darkened windows. I think maybe they're making drugs in there. No one ever comes or goes from that house, except the lawn is neatly mowed. And I imagine what is going on in there. I'm sure, I don't care. Actually, forget I mentioned it, because now I feel like maybe I'm going to get in trouble. I keep to myself often. I have a little place I like to call my thinky box, and I go in my thinky box. It's really just a box. And I go in it, and when I'm in it, I think, "What am I doing in this box?" And then all of a sudden, I realize I'm in it because it cuts off the oxygen, and that makes me high. But by that time, I'm really not thinking anymore. But when I get out of the box, that cool, crisp, clean air, how fresh it tastes to me. And that's what it is. It's a world of opposites and complements. We don't know the heat unless we feel the cold. We don't know the cold unless we feel the heat. Says a Moby Dick, it says that. So I like to stick my feet from under the covers and get them cold so I know the rest of me's warm. Maybe it doesn't say that in Moby Dick, I don't remember. But the opposite, what's the opposite of a whale? Indoor plumbing. Give a minute. Sometimes I feel like I'm the only person on the planet. Everybody's gone. And I've cracked my eyeglasses, but it doesn't matter because I don't need them. And I still read. And I still have my Kindle. I can't download any books anymore. But that's fine, because I have everything I need on there. I could read the same book over and over again, because I have such a poor memory. It's all fresh to me the minute I read it. That's what it's like. I don't have amnesia as much as I just don't focus. I'm not paying attention. I think maybe that's a problem with a lot of our society today. What was I saying? Well, go back and review. Whatever I said was the problem with our society. Should be making notes anyway. When I was in class, when I was a student, I'd sit there and I'd draw all sorts of cartoons. I'd make little circles, and I'd make more circles. I guess they weren't really cartoons. I was just sort of making circles and circles and circles because I can't draw. And sometimes I'd just stab the pen repeatedly. But I would not write down what the instructor, what the teacher was saying. So to this day, I can't do algebra or anything like that. Solve for X. Let X solve it himself, or his little weird cat companion that sounds like Billie Holiday. Meow, 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 indeed. Meow, meow. Bless her. I do. My heart still breaks for helpless things. Little babies. Little kittens. Or something. Just anything little. Little piece of something that broke off of something else. I bet it's missing it. I bet that pen is missing its cap. Caps for sale. The monkeys would steal them off the children. Caps for sale. Then they start getting bold and taking scalps. Caps for sale. Soon they're lopping off the heads of all the children in the neighborhood. So one day a man comes by, looks up in that monkey tree. And he says, "Hey, you monkeys taking children's heads? Don't," and he uses psychology on them. He says, "Don't take mine." And they do. But when they get his head up there, it turns out, I don't know what happens at that. I think what it is one of his relatives is a lawyer or something. And the monkeys, from that point on, become experimentation monkeys. One of them, though, constantly touching its nose. Say, is it something's wrong with its nose? No, what's it doing? It's saying something. It's saying all ball. I want a kitten named All Ball. And that's how we learned how to communicate with the monkeys. And we found out that they want peanuts and blueberries. And they want to touch our hair. And all that time they were thinking that and we didn't know it. All this time. So who knows what other creatures are thinking, what's in their hearts. We could ask them, but first we have to teach them to talk. We have parrots. We teach them to talk. "Ah, hey, I want a cracker. How you fix for blades? You better look." Like that, I teach them 30s advertising slogans that I learned from the Three Stooges. There's nothing I've learned in life that I hadn't learned from either Three Stooges or any show by Sherwood Schwartz. So you laugh at me. But I didn't know how to sing Hamlet until Gilligan's Island. Didn't know none of those songs. Didn't know how to speak German until Stalag 13. What's it called? Hogan's Heroes. Like that. That's German. I didn't know that you could tunnel down. Why leave a concentration camp when you have a costume shop underground? A trade-off. You could leave, but then you'd leave that beautiful underground, like underground Atlanta they have. See the candle shop down there and all. See, LeBeau, I'm going on a date and I need a candle. What flavor? I'd like either Bay Breeze or Green. I can do that for you. So many things are named. Candles often not named what they... Arctic Evening. Or something. What's that smell like? Also, fingernail polishes are like that. Wild Passion. What color is Wild Passion? I have a good one. It's kind of a brown-red color for nail polish. And I would call it Yesterday's Blood. Have that on you. Beautiful, natural colors. I like those. I like anything in nature. Except poisonous plants. Or poisonous gases. People forget that. Say, oh, they're always making this say, marijuana. They use this argument. Say, God wouldn't have put it here if he didn't want us to use it. Yes, like hemlock. Or something, or stinkweed, or something like that. Doesn't he put a lot of things here that aren't really good to use? Kudzu. Oh, yes, the Lord has blessed us with kudzu and air potatoes. Eric Potatoes especially, because he loves to see us pull a vine down and then get clunked in the head with something the size of a softball. And he laughs. It's fun for him. Her. It. Nothing. Your idea. The voice in your head. Whoever it is. I'm not going to say. I like some religious people I meet. I like some atheists I meet. I really now am just going by the person. Because I'm finding it hard, really, to compartmentalize people. They're letting me down. People I expect to be hateful and all sometimes surprise me, and they're not. People I expect to be compassionate surprise me, and they're not. So I don't go by that anymore. I just see what you like when I encounter you. What you like at the Kroger. What you like at the Piggly Wiggly, whatever. How do you behave there in the parking lot when I see you? And I come up behind you and I say, man, where'd you get them shorts? I love powder blue shorts that are ill-fitting. And they think I'm being sarcastic a lot of times. I'm not. It is not right that we should all think alike. Who said that? Marty someone. Not Marty Allen. He might have. What does he say? He says, Hello, dare. Hello, dare. I'm going to take you. What do you dare me to do? Parkour? I'll do it. You want me to jump from one building to the next? I'll do it. You want me to do it in the nude? I'll do it. You want me to run up like a Spider-Man, up a wall, in through windows like that? To fast beat me? Like that, I can do it. You want me to do a whole dubstep song in the Mr. Blobby voice? Blah, 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 blah. I can do that. Because I let my mind free. I freed it a long time ago because I didn't want to feed it anymore. I was like, man, just go. I'm going to open the cage. Get out of here, crazy mind. I don't need you. I can rent one. I'm not going to own my mind anymore. I'm going to rent. Because this way I can call somebody if something's gone wrong. So I'm having a little prefrontal cortex problem. Really, what are the symptoms? Well, my fly's open and I don't care. Yes, all right. Well, that's about right. We'll send somebody right out. All right. Now, don't just shut my fly. Now, fix the problem. Problem's brain related. I know some of y'all come right out and they go, okay, I'm just going to put this right back in and zip it up. That's not going to take care of it. I need the actual repair. You can't just weld it back. You can't just put, what's that stuff you put? Solder. Solder. Solder sane, like him. That means to patch up. I like things fixed. Make them like new. How can make a hearts like new? Well, I tell you what we can do. First, you get one of them warranties. And they'll bring you a new one. If the old ones, I'm going to borrow one. Like I said. Because owning is too difficult. Owner of a lonely heart. Much better than owner of a rental heart. Much better than fella with no heart. Much better than Tin Man or the other one. Better than the skate. Which one doesn't have the heart? The nice one. The compassionate, sweet one doesn't have a heart. Isn't that weird? A lot of times I turn to old nursery rhymes of our youth. Think about those. My mother used to have a book of nursery rhymes. Used to love it. Two little Indians sitting in a tree. K-I-P-L-I-N-G. When will John Bull let them free? Orwell working for the BBC. See, a lot of those were just disguised allegories for British geopolitical situations. And then some, like Humpty Dumpty, are just plain nonsense. But I've always termed Hector Protector, looking at the stars. Hector Protector doesn't have no hair. King's in the counting house, counting all the money. Queen's in the counting house, eating bread and honey. King's in the counting house, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? And those used to scare the heck out of me, saying, Mama, stop reading those. don't know what they mean. Oh, the children always in trouble. The children get dead, rolled over in bed. That's the British. They're tough on that. Our American nursery rhymes, can't remember any of them, but I know they're gentler. And I think that's because maybe they had more problems. I mean, World War II, everybody's scared. Look up, look at them barrage balloons. Frightening. See, maybe they're just big-headed, nice puppet people. A lot of the British still think that. There's another way to fool the children so they won't be scared. What's that bomb dropping on us, Mama? Now, British people don't speak that way, but I can't impress them, impressitate them. I can't do the voice, rather. It's tough. I can't even begin to do it. Funny, isn't it? How sometimes we can hear something, but we can't reproduce it. I feel like that. What's going in my ear? But I can't. When people say foreign language words to me, say Andrew and Popos, no other but, can't say it back. I tell you what, I'm so glad you're with me, mainly because I'm very, very, very lonely. And I know that you're not really physically with me, and I know that you're probably not even listening. So it's really in my head. I know that I'm living entirely in my head, and that's not possible, but it is possible because I've seen Popeye actually flip around and come up through his legs up the other side in a sort of a Mobius strip somersault. If he can do it, I can do it. This is mind over matter. It doesn't matter. And I don't mind. So in that sense, we are all definitely one. One what? I don't know. One box of a lot of different things. Isn't that interesting? We are one. We are one bag of marbles. All different. You could be an Aggie. It's called one. Or another kind of marble used to say, these are all old-timey words, was a mashy niblick. Another one, I don't know, all of them. I didn't live back then. Pog is one. Kids used to collect those, have all kinds of games they don't have today. Throw the cub cap or throw the can, throw the stick. Have a game called throw the rock. All stuff like that. Throw the wadded up piece of paper that still has some food in it. Throw the mango if you live in South Florida. Throw the pine cone. It's all different regions have their own version. Gator ball is one. Rugby. All different things. What is the one you scoot on the ice? My dog could do that. It likes to scoot and make them butt donuts on the carpet. Look at that. It's like crop circles. It's more and more elaborate. My dog will make one. What is that? It looks like an atomic symbol for hydrogen or something. My dog's rear end is from outer space. I wouldn't be surprised. They say now that the atoms in your body are one instant at the same time here and then on the other side across the universe at the same time. How can that be? Back and forth, zipping back and forth. Isn't modern astronomical is amazing to me? I used to watch Carl Sagan, and on the Cosmos was his show, and he was the first one to really get on TV and explain astronomy high. And for that we thank him. And then he ushered in a long line then of popular stoned scientists who would explain things to us in terms of either baseball or things that we could understand like that, because the common man, the layman, does not always understand these high concepts because they a lot of times involve mathematics. And it's very difficult. A lot of the math is just symbols, too. I don't even know. People look at it, and they can figure out things like fractals and all. I think the most amazing things is like that thing that's when you're listening to iTunes, it comes at you, and it knows what the music's doing. I don't know how to make a computer. If I would right now, if all the smart people died, and then all the technology broke, I could not even make a gosh gol darn abacus. I can make a lever. We'd be back to that. I can make a lever. I can make a hitty stick, like for hitting. I could make pants. I could probably make a good pair of pants, because there'd still be thread and needle. I could make a needle out of something. Metalwork, I think I could figure out. Just got to heat stuff up and pour it in something, whatever. Eventually, I'd get there. If it can be whittled, I can make it. I can. You give me a knife. Can't make a knife. But if one magically appeared, I could whittle anything you need. Whittle you anything. Whittle you a bride if you wanted. A mechanical wooden bride. And she'd love you. And she'd want to be with you, take care of you. And you take care of her. Or maybe a groom. I'll make a man out of wood. Listen. You might be listening now and say, who is this fellow on the radio telling me all what I should do and shouldn't do and what kind of things I should carve and what I can make a puppet out of and what's inappropriate to make a puppet out of and how I can't really stick my hand up into his skull. I can. If I knock some of that bone up in there, I can get my hand up in it. And if I feel there's still a little brain matter left in there, yeah, I'm going to vomit. That disgusts me. Because the human body is disgusting, essentially. All them guts, bag of guts. And they shouldn't put it in a bag, even. If you're going to get guts, it should be boxed and frozen. But here we are. God made us this way. Bony goody. And we all are. And if you're fooling yourself if you think that you're not. Because take a look inside. You can only do it once. Because then your guts fall out and you die. So be careful. No, they got pictures now. You can look inside of somebody. How about those ultrasounds? You can see a baby. Look at him. Look at his clear skull. I hope that's not right. Yeah, no, you're seeing through him like an x-ray. Oh, so he's solid, yes. And look at that umbilical. And look at that little toe. And look at the horns. A little baby. Little sweet little hell baby. Gonna be born in all those guts. Another bag of guts coming out of a bag of guts. So what makes life tolerable? Each other. Understanding each other. Giving ourselves a little leeway. I'll tell you what tolerance is. A lot of intolerant people right now. It's amazing. Because I gotta say, your bottom has an odor. And if your bottom has an odor, then you gotta be tolerant. Because what tolerant means is, you put up with other people's nonsense because we have to put up with yours. And me not putting up with your nonsense is ugly. I don't want to do it to you. You don't want to do it to me. So let's just agree to disagree and smile. Even if we say a lot of people in the South will smile at you and be nice to you. And it's insincere. You want us to be sincere? Come on now. There's a time for that, but it's not at the store. I'll just smile. I'm going to pretend to be. I'm going to fake it until I'm fine. I'm fine. So just smile. It doesn't matter if it's phony. You don't have to be honest all the time. No one wants to see your crappy mood. No one values that in you. Oh boy, you are a shameless jerk. That's so honest. I really admire your honesty. Could you pretend to be just sort of a sappy simpleton? I think that'd be much better. Yes, smile and nod and things like that. It's not so bad. It gets you in trouble sometimes. Ooh, I tell you what. I get so excited when the mailman brings me a Herbie Popnecker comic book. I still like the basic things in life. I still like doing simple things. Like smoking my pipe and worrying about mouth cancer. I worry. Oh, I fret and worry. I'm so afraid of everything. Afraid of pain, afraid of loneliness. I'm afraid that I can't sing, but I have a song in my heart, and it just comes out sometimes like gas or any kind of sweat. It's not appropriate, but I can't control it. I can't control my body fluids. Some I can. I can control the important ones, I gotta tell you. Just in case you're thinking of having me on a long car trip. I can hold both. I still don't have my... Got my doggy with me. Is that wrong? My radio doggy. My old hound. Eats anything. And then it'll eat it again. You see what I mean? The other day, it must have had some string because its stool was all linked together. It was amazing. It was all separate links connected by like a shoestring or something it ate. I don't even know how it did that. And I don't know how it digests it. My dog can eat metal. It's like an alligator. Alligators can digest bone or anything like that. It goes in there and just... And they just poo it out. Me, no. I can't even... If something has just a tough husk on it, forget it. I wish I had an alligator belly. I wish I had an alligator mouth. I wish I had an alligator tail and then everybody loved me so. I wish I had an alligator mind. Wish I had alligator feet. Wish I had an alligator conscience and I wouldn't worry so. Look at them men in the boat. Used to be men with long beards like that were president or cough drop moguls, and now they're gigging Nutria in the swamp. That's how much things have changed. No more mustachioed presidents. Not in this country. No more long beards. I miss that. Because things change. Where'd the long beard go? I tell you where the long beard goes. Just look back. It stops at World War I. Why does it stop at World War I in the military? Think about it. I'll give you a minute. Military people used to have beards. Until World War I. Why? The gas mask. You can't make a gas mask fit tightly with a beard. Isn't that disgusting? That's where the beard's gone. The beard's gone because we're trying to kill each other with gas. How about that? That's an ugly image. I say, let's get rid of gas masks and bring back beards.
Going to have a good time tonight. My lady, we're going to have a good time tonight. There's going to be a cakewalk. Get on your walking shoes. We're going to have a good time tonight. If you come to dance with me, put on your dancing shoes. We're going to have a good time tonight. Slickest looking couple, sure to have to call. We're going to have a good time tonight. If you come dressed to kill, or don't you come at all. We're going to have a good time tonight. ¶¶
Oh, we're going to have a good time tonight. Not if I can help it. Be better. I'm going to take that good time and multiply it. How am I going to do it? I'm going to fold it over on itself, and I'm going to cut something out, and I'm going to open it up, and it's going to look like a snowflake. No two snowflakes are alike. And that's not true, is it? Because I've seen many. They all look alike to me. They're alike, yet they're not alike. People are alike, yet they're not alike, are they? Always predictable, always using the F word. Don't even know what it means. I'll tell you something about the F word. You use it here and there and go, that. You don't even know what it means. Happens to be German. It's German. It's a German word for a French military theorist and commander and marshal from World War I. Did you know that? So every time you're saying that, you're just saying his name. Isn't that something? And you think it's such a curse word. We need to inspect things a little more. You got to take a book out of the library. Don't bring it back. Get all those books out. That's what bothers me. Going to that library, look at all those books still there. That means nobody's reading them. Got to empty out these libraries. Take those books. Take them home. Use them for stuff so that you'll always be around them. Do you have to? Yeah, we have to read them. Books are no good unless you open it up and you get into them. Can you physically get into them? I have tried. I have put my face in that sin. I just pushed until I go in it, but I can only go in it in my mind. If it's only in your mind, does it count? People say that. Say, if you can only do that in your mind, and then not in reality. Say, I have a rich fantasy life. And they go, that can't be enough, Hardy. If you only go there in your mind, you're not really there. And I say, stick your head in a book. Can you get into the book? And then they walk away. Usually they'll back away. I'm not going to hurt you. I'm not that type. I'm just so full of passion. There's something building up inside of me. I feel it bubbling. I'm a cauldron. It's bubbling up inside of me. I'm a glow stick. You break me and I glow. I just glow. You can keep breaking me. You can keep insulting me. Nobody does, though. People are really generally kind to me. I think a lot of people want to act like they're persecuted or something so they'll get some sympathy. But I'm not going to hold myself down in the airport bathroom, and I'm not going to carve a swastika into my own hair with clippers and something and say, look, people hate me. Come out and support me. Generally, people are nicer to me than they have to be. And kinder. And I don't know if it's pity. I don't question it. I want people to be kind to me. Would you like my seat, sir? Because you look infirmed. Well, thank you. You're so kind to me. But generally, people don't insult me. And I love that. I think people are... Anne Frank said that. She said, I think people are genuinely good at heart. She's never driven in Atlanta, but bless her heart. She thought that from her limited perspective, just with, genocidal Nazis. Can you believe that? How big is your heart? How big is it? Is it like a bouncy house? Can we get in it with other children and bounce around and catch a heel in the eye and go, is this fun or is this just chaos? Am I free or is it anarchy? I don't mean like anarchy, like a real anarchy, like Rudolf Rocker. I mean a popular misconception of the word. I don't mean like, syndicalism. This is why I'm not a political scientist or any kind of scientist. I admire it, and I also realize everybody has an opinion, whether they have any expertise or not, don't they? Everybody has a scientific opinion. Everybody chime in on these comment boards and everything. I know, because a little bit of knowledge is just better than nothing. And yet, people make it dangerous because they don't get the whole knowledge never stops. It's always looking and questioning. That's what you got to do. I'm talking to myself. I'm not talking to you. I know you know this. Give me a second. I'm just going to talk to myself a minute. I don't know, man. What should I get, the fruit or the corned beef hash? Don't get the corned beef hash. Comes out of a can, first of all. I don't know. They might make it. Really? At a Holiday Inn restaurant? You don't know. You do know. You do know. It's food service corned beef hash. Get the fruit. Where do you think the fruit comes from? You think they're growing on a rooftop garden? They're all coming out of cans and stuff like that.
so I don't know how to make decisions, because they're never fully informed. I have to trust a little in my fellow man. Sometimes when I'm alone, I'll do that trust exercise where you just fall backwards. Because I trust myself that I'm not going to really do it. And I don't. I catch myself before I actually put that one foot back. I go, I'm not going to do this. What are you going to clunk your head on the floor? Break it open. That is, I have a list of the world's most sickening sounds. And number one is someone's head hitting concrete. And I've heard it a couple times. Thank God, never fatally or anything. But if you ever heard someone's head hitting concrete, or something happens in the pit of your stomach, and it's ugly. I don't want to ever hear that sound again, so I hope there's no percussionists out there that can... Don't program it into a synthesizer where every key is somebody's head hitting concrete in a different... Boop, 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 like those barking dogs that bark jingle bells. Drives me mad. Who invented the synthesizer? Maug? Or Mowgli? Which one was it? One of them was a feral boy, and the other was like an electronic genius. And who's the one who became a woman? Man, I used to know so much. I have forgotten more than I ever knew. I know that for a fact. This is why I keep a diary. It's not my diary. It's my grandmother's diary. And I'm checking it. I look in it, see what I did when I was young, because I don't remember. And she would write things in it like, you know, I went shopping for shoes at Rancocas. All right. Glad you wrote that down, Granny, because now we know. But she also wrote things that I will always look up. I really do have my granny's diaries. And I look it up and say, well, what'd you do that day? It was a very interesting entry on one day. So this one day, it was I'm not as old as I sound, first of all. I'm 14. But this is 1968, and her entry, I can't remember exactly, but it was like, I picked Hardy up at the nursery school, cowboy day, because he'd thrown up in his hat after a three-legged race, and I remember that, and I thought it got a bad hot dog, but then she went on to say that I threw up all day long, just throwing up. And my cowboy, I remember I had the nicest cowboy outfit, too. I had chaps, even, which I don't know if real cowboys, I don't know if I was a gaucho or what. I also had one of them silver knives, and I had a mate straw, silver one. So I don't know if I, because it was an Argentine, and then cowboy. This entry goes on, say, I picked Hardy up, threw up, and then at the bottom it says, they shot Robert Kennedy on that day, on my throwing up day. And I remember my throwing up day, but I don't remember that was the day that Saran Saran shot Robert Kennedy. It was my grandmother's diary. And most of my grandmother's diary entries are, had my hair done. That's her diary. That's the private things that she told her diary. Still can't find a good pair of shoes for the wedding. Don't know what I'll do. Lou called the rock man. Everything's right. And something cryptic like that. Like, what? I don't even know what that means. It's all fixed. She did say that he sent his lighter back to Zippo and they fixed it and sent it back. I don't know if that still happens. But isn't that good? Those were the good old days. But we don't know about the good old days unless someone writes it down and tells us. Are you writing anything down? What are you leaving as your legacy for the next generation? What are you leaving? What I do is if I rent a place, I cut open the walls and I put things in them. Like a time capsule. But really it's just I'll put sort of teddy bears in there, old newspapers, anything, cram it into the wall. Gas cans, old garbage. Because I figure it's old garbage to me. But they'll look at that and they'll say, oh, look at this ketchup bottle. It must be from the 90s. What's that? 15 years ago. And people get a sense of history that way. But they don't unless we think about the future and the past. Are you? What will you leave? What will be your legacy? What are they going to do with your body? I want mine stood up. A lot of Victorian photos, they take pictures of people after they're dead. They stand them up, put a rod up in them, and then gather around them and take a picture with the dead corpse sitting up like that. Right? They've done that. They've had wakes with a corpse been sitting in a corner. Mostly for drunks, they do that. I've noticed that. Most people are laying in proper in their coffin. My granny was laying proper in her coffin, and I walked up, and I thought, oh, they put her blouse on backwards. I'll never forget that. They dressed her backwards. And she was so finicky about her dress, right? And that for some reason, as idiots, they put on her blouse backwards. And she's laying there for all eternity. Hopefully she's turning over in her grave. Because that, and the blouse is stationary so that it will right itself. But I didn't know what to say. I didn't want to get, I really don't want you to be messing with her now. You missed your window to put the blouse on proper. But sometimes you just gotta laugh. But that wasn't the time. A man of constant anything. No man is a man of constant anything, because the only thing that is constant is change. Something's always changing. Heraclitus said, you cannot step in the same river twice, because it got cut off. There's only fragments of his writing. So we don't know. He might have said, I'm kidding, I'm lying after that. We don't know, but I know that things do change. I'd be riding in a car with my grandfather, my great-grandfather once. My grandfather said, I remember when all that over there were orange groves. And my great-grandfather says, hell, I remember when all that over there was a giant silver city, a giant insect people. That's how old he is. You remembered all that, the time back there were dinosaurs. We think they were unsophisticated, but we don't know. They could have had beautiful wooden houses, because the wooden houses wouldn't be there anymore. You see what I'm saying? We'd have no evidence. Look at that. Brontosaurus built a giant house, and it's not there anymore. I love stories of giants. I like Gulliver's Travels. You got to read it. Don't ever look at one of them cartoons, because in the actual book, he poos in a cathedral. And that's just not in any of the movies, because you got to think of it. Everybody does that, even giants. And when giants do it, it's a problem. So it's a great metaphor. This giant had to, what do we do with the giant's waste? We can house him in here, but what's he going to do? But do it in this big box. It's a big box to him, but it's our cathedral. Could you imagine him scooping all that out? I'd quit, but what? And leave show business? I'm mixing that up. I don't try to not mix things up, because I like things mixed, except for drinks. Like it straight, like my whiskey straight. Nothing else. Everything else I like all different colors and all different. You can do whatever you want, but whiskey I like straight. No Manhattans for me. No perfect Manhattans, no dry Manhattans. But if you do make a dry Manhattan, for gosh sakes, it's a lemon twist. Not a maraschino cherry. And I do get tired of people that think they know everything. I don't know nothing. All I know is what I came into this world knowing, which is, oh, it was warm, now it's cold. I know the difference between pleasure and pain. I get some pleasure from little things, man. I'll tell you what, if I go back, tire changing place, and I see that they got a giant inflatable gorilla, I start clapping my hands. I get so happy, because that's a giant inflatable, and it inspires whimsy. Because everything's so same. Drive down there, but then you see the giant three-story inflatable gorilla, or better yet, the dancing fan man. A dancing fan man is that they got a fan blowing upwards, and on it is kind of a tube of fabric with a couple fabric tube arms, and the wind blows it, and the fabric man, he shimmies and he shakes, and his arms wibble in a wobble, and it's just amazing. I could watch it all day. It's like when you see a fountain of water, then you can imagine there's a lady dancing in it. I let my imagination run away with me, and then one time I jumped in the fountain and embraced her, and then I was embraced, and then I had... It's taken away for a while. I don't mind. They just want to assess me. I don't mind. I say, oh, it's okay. I understand. I got what they call exuberance. And so I've been diagnosed with that before. And just sometimes I get happy. A lot of times I'm sad. Hopefully, appropriately for both. You don't want to be, you know, laughing at a funeral, crying at a wedding. But people do cry at a wedding. Why? I'm so happy I'm crying. I don't get it. I don't get it. It doesn't work. I'm so sad I'm laughing hysterically. It doesn't make any sense. I'm so well that I have explosive diarrhea. But we are made up of contradictions and change. People mock it. Or to change because people use it as political slogans and all. But it's wonderful. We do change. I don't have anything in common with my little self, my 5-year-old self walking around. That throwing up on the day RFK died self. I don't know him. I don't even remember much. And I can't remember whether I remember it or whether it's something I saw in a photograph. I knew what I had on that day because there's a picture of me. So, man, sometimes it's just like scanners or something. I wonder what's real and what isn't real. And then I think, does it matter? If I can dream it, it might be true. That's why I say hold on to your dreams and don't let people take them away from you. You say, I dream I want to fly like a bird. Hold on to that dream. Because someday you're going to go to a theme park where they lie to you and tell you that that's going to be possible. You probably won't. But you mind. You don't have to be a prisoner in that, man. That's yours. You own that. You can go anywhere. You don't let anybody tell you what you can think and not think. Don't be a prisoner, Zenda, in your own mind. Don't be the man in the iron mask in your own brain. Don't be Charles Manson making spiders out of hair in your own high security lockup because of your psychotic murderous tendencies that aren't really truly real or for him. Be free. Run through those meadows. Take off your shoes. Take off your feet. It's your imagination. You don't even need feet. I'm just going to have a flipper on the end there or something. Or my feet going to be like rocket engines. I'm going to shoot up like Iron Man up to the stars. And I'm going to fly by all the... I'm not going to fly by the planet that everybody makes fun of that sounds like your rectum. Planet rectum. Everybody loves that, making that joke. Poor Uranus. I mean, that fella had to go for a long time. Everything's fine. He didn't never heard of the English language. Your. Didn't have your. It was some other word. So it didn't mean anything. And then all of a sudden we come along. Go, oh, that sounds like your anus. And it never stops being funny. It is funny like that. We're all still children. And sometimes I like that. I like it. We giggle. Still giggle at your wee wee. Never stops being funny. And that should tell you something. We're imperfect. Don't try to be perfect. Everybody thinks they can polish it all up. But it's all gooky and nasty, man. Tell you, look under this thing. That's what those microscopes, you zoom in. Oh, look at the pores. And you get smaller and smaller. And you go, oh, look, there's actually little horrible little Doctor Who villain things all in my, crawling all in my arm and everything. Living in there. There's other creatures living on me like I'm a planet. Find a little, getting your multiplex demodulators and find them over the bridge of my nose and I can't even see it because they're microscopic. There's life going on at all those levels. Who knows what's alive? Who knows what's alive? So don't crush anything, including dolls, which may be animated spirits. We don't know, especially the ones that friends brought from a first or third world country. I got that mixed up because baseball is just the opposite. But some of those things, people have objects, fetish objects. They put things in like voodoo dolls. They put a spirit in it. It's got a spirit in it. It's not just an empty object. Like a child's dodo. What do you call them? Fake dodo thing. Lovey. Cuddly thing. Teddy bear. It's alive to them. You can't say it isn't. It has a soul, and you can't say it doesn't to that child. So, hey, is that your lammy? Yes, that's my lammy. How is it? It's a she. Oh, I'm sorry. How is she? How's lammy? She's fine. She's tired. That's real to them. And if you took it away and said, I'm going to stab up lammy and stab her eye out, the child would become hysterical like you're killing somebody. Because we put a piece of ourselves in things, don't we? That's why you got to be gentle with one another. I know the temptation is there to lash out. But you gotta remember, that ugly old nasty attitude lady there in front of you at line of the grocery store, shuffling along with her giant repulsive varicose vein legs and her rude attitude and her nasty ratty hair. She's once a little child holding her little lammy. And she had potential. God knows what happened to her, whether it's her fault or not. But somewhere, man, there's an unbroken chain to that child that person represents. And if you could see them in time, you would see a big time worm. A four-dimensional worm stretching through time from that little child to her. And they're still connected. That makes her it. Hit. Don't forget that. Don't forget that.
We're going to do one entitled, Gosh, I Miss You All the Time.
When whippoorwills are calling, night is gently falling. For the one that's so divine. I'll miss you when it's daylight. I'll miss you when it's midnight. Gosh, I'll miss you all the time. Church bells are ringing, nightingales are singing. That's when I miss you most. When I'm feeling lonely, thinking of you only. That's when I miss you most. When old friends get together in any kind of weather, I feel like I'm left behind. I'll miss your arms are sailing around me so appealing. Gosh, I miss you all the creation for the one that's so divine. I'll miss you when it's daylight. I'll miss you when it's midnight. Gosh, I miss you all the time.
Oh, I miss you all the time when you're not here, but I'm so grateful when you are. Thank you so much for joining me this evening and being part of the Miracle Nutrition. I hope that you get your miracle, and I hope you get your nutrition. I hope you get what you need for your soul or for your body, and I hope you feel content. Sometimes you're going to have struggles, but I hope that they're offset by beautiful times of relaxation and peace in your heart. And I mean that from the bottom of mine. And my heart, it does have a bottom. It's a little messy. It's got a lot of silt, and I'm going to clean it up, I promise. Thank you. I'm Hardy White, and I'll see you again next week.
A song, Cads, we've dedicated to the Empire. St. George for England, St. Pancras for Scotland. Bad show, chaps, bad show.
What's the blackout coming to? That's the latest cry. We'll even have to whitewash the jolly old school tie.
We're sliding down the banisters, we're going up the spout. We're walking into lampposts, what's it all about? Sic transit gloria petroleum.
There's still a lot of flirting going on in Regent's Park.
Bad show, chaps, bad show. Toscanini whistles jeepers creepers in the dark.
Bad show, chaps, bad show. Statesmen do not use the diplomacy they might.
No.
Attlee goes to Downing Street, it really isn't right.
He stands and sings Umbrella Man to Neville every night.
Bad show, chaps, bad show.
It's hardly playing the game, you know.
Mademoiselle from Armentières has rather gone to seed.
Oh, bad show, chaps, bad show. She's going in for comfort now. She's given up the speed.
Bad show, chaps, bad show. Sir John Anderson is a conscientious man.
Rather.
Delivering his shelters, he comes round with his van.
It's not the thing to ask him if there's tuppence on the can.
Bad show, chaps, bad show.
Pro bono, penny on the bureau.
It's time the ancient Britisher should answer to the call and all go marching forward with our backs against the wall.
The farmer has a subsidy to help him grow the stuff. Though Stafford Cripps says raspberries are plentiful enough. Wearing his popular front, of course.
Simon raised the income tax and everybody ducked.
Bad show, chaps, bad show. And Mr. Hob Alicia has had his eyebrows plucked.
Bad show, chaps. Bad show.
The fast of Mr. Gandhi worried Burma and Bengal. He sat there in his loincloth, the viceroy made a call.
And he found out it was only night starvation after all.
Oh, bad show, chaps. Bad show.
Honnissoir, qui mal de mer, which means do not wash your hands while a train is at a station.
The balloon barrage over London was said to be a flop. Some balloons broke right away, while others went off pop.
So they're sending up Sir Kingsley Wood with Florrie Ford on top.
Oh, bad show, chaps. Bad show.
Definitely.
The Germans on the Western Front have shivers down the spine. They're calling up the women folk to help defend the Rhine.
So think of all those bloomers on the Siegfried line.
A bad show, chaps. Bad show.
Good hunting.
That one. Well, yes, hello. Good evening. WFMU. East Orange WMFU Mount Hope. And normally at this hour, on Tuesdays, they have the antique phonograph hour with Mac. Mac met with an untimely incident that I can't go into. It's so embarrassing. But he asked me to come in tonight and fill the airwaves with the glorious sounds of surface noise and the music that is also embedded in 78 RPM records. I am the old codger. I am filling in for Mac here at the Philco Cheap Cigar Boudoir. I'll do this for an hour. And we heard from Olaf Carlson and an instrumental called Plenty Off Center. And before that, the Western Brothers did Bad Show, chaps. Yes, I am the old codger. Old codger. Since I last appeared on WFMU, I've gotten older. But don't mistake me for my senior brother. He's known as the older codger. His real name is Clarence. And we're not on speaking terms. We haven't been on speaking terms since 1931. He lives in some privileged, gated community somewhere. He's not a very nice man. He's very unpleasant. He's sarcastic. He's intolerant. He's opinionated. He's crusty. He's deceitful. And he's lousy with the ladies. In other words, he's the complete opposite of me. I'm not saying he's an evil man. He just believes things that aren't true. And as long as he's alive, there will be one additional counterproductive force on this planet. He's quite a package, that Clarence is. He's ugly and uglier, all rolled into one. In my gene pool,